We're going to continue our series on God's care today. We've read so many ways over the last months about ways that God cares for us. And one of the ways he cares for us is by encouraging us to love him. You know, everybody wants to have something to love. Some people it's a spouse, some people it's their kids, some people it's a cat, some people it's a dog, some people it's their job or a sport or a car. I know people that...
Arrived.
Hello, welcome. That's probably Brian. Glad to have you. But everybody needs something to love and care for. And one of the things God wants us to do is simply love him. And I have found in my life, and many others have, that when they really are actively in their minds and hearts loving God, they're just much happier. They're much more peaceful. They're much more focused. So there are a lot of verses in the Bible about the importance of loving God, and we're going to read some of those today. And we do this every couple of years, and every time I go through these verses again, I go, wow, that is cool stuff. So let's do that. Let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it's always fun being at the Dundons. There's between one and three dogs wanting to get petted at any given moment when I'm sitting here. Right now, there's only Teresa's the most persistent one. Who's over there? Peanut?
Peanuts.
Yeah, Peanuts.
Shadow doesn't care.
Shadow went to lie down. And Rocco stayed at your house, Charlie. So that's why we have a peaceful morning.
Very true.
Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these, well, that's it. That's the number one commandment. It's always the first in any time commandments are talked about. The first one is always love God. That's at the basis of everything else we do. And I get a kick out of it because everybody always wants to fight over what is the most Christian thing to do and what is the better thing you could do if you're really a good Christian. And everybody and every group has a different opinion, and they're allowed that. But God, it's very simple. First, love God, and then not going to focus on this today, but the next one is love your neighbor. And as somebody once said, if you love God and love your neighbor, do as you dang fool please. Because if you're loving God and loving your neighbor, everything else will pretty well work out. But people get hung up about every other little pet peeve they have, and everybody does, and I know that, but let's just keep it real simple today.
And Peter and Dee Dee has arrived.
Welcome, Peter and Dee Dee. Glad to have you guys.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
We're in Deuteronomy right now, guys. We're just finished in chapter 6. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're talking about the importance of loving God. It's a wonderful thing to do.
Great.
Here we are in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. And that's interesting, because we live in a very politically charged climate, and everybody's always looking at polls and numbers and majorities and minorities, and having the most of anything, whether it's the most votes or the most delegates or the most dollars or the most shares or the most biggest profit margin or pick any other number you want. The biggest anything is always, or if it's a song, you know, are you in the top 10 or a book? Are you on the bestseller list? People are always looking at the biggest number, whereas God didn't. That's not what he was looking for with the Israelites. They weren't the biggest of anything. Well, like for centuries, they were sort of the biggest pain in the neck to God, but they just weren't the biggest. That's not why God chose them. Verse 7 of Deuteronomy 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were what? The fewest of all people. Verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would or wanted to keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So that's the reason God delivered millions of Israelites out from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and from his slavery. The reason he did it is because he loved him and he wanted to keep his promises. Verse 9, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that what? Love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So when people love God and do what he says, he'll take care of them. So we keep coming back to loving God. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear or reverence the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So, even back in the Old Testament, when they did have so many laws, it's pretty well simplified. You fear or reverence the Lord your God. You walk in his ways, you love him, and you serve him. So, loving God is at the basis of all God wants us to do. Even back under the law, before getting to the age of grace in which we live. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God. Number one. And, of course, keep his charge and his statutes, his judgments, his commandments, always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which I have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty arm, and his stretched out arms, his miracles, his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. And what he did to the army of Egypt, unto their horses, their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea to overflow them. And what he did, and it goes on and on and on. And then we get to verse 25, there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread upon you, upon all the land you shall tread upon, as he hath said. And it goes on, it's a great thing that if you love God and keep his commandments, he's going to do all these great things and protect his people. Then let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast known, and let us serve them. So somebody comes in and does some great miracle, you know, pulls a rabbit out of a hat, except it's something a little more dramatic than that, you know. Actually, because there are people that operating unholy spirit instead of Holy Spirit can actually do things that people would consider signs and wonders. And so somebody comes and does it and says, okay, now I did this, and the reason I did it is because I prayed to Baal, so I want you all to pray to Baal, then you'll have this kind of stuff happen in your life. Well, that happens, verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. He's letting you go through a test by letting this guy come in and do that. The Lord your God proveth you to know whether you what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So just because you hear of some great thing somebody did or somebody's successful and then says worship this false god and it can happen to you too, don't listen. Because God's just allowing the test to occur to see if you really love him. And notice that's the criteria. That's the thing God's looking for, is do the people really love him? That's what matters. And that's why it's so important to spend a session talking about the importance of loving God. There are just so many other things you can get fuzzy on. You know, people will bug you about this and bug you about that, you know. You know, they'll spend their whole life worrying about if they got the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. And that's okay if you want to fight over that. It's a free country. But what God's concerned about is, do you love him? I had nothing in the Bible about having the Ten Commandments in the courthouse one way or the other that I'm aware of. So if you want to make that your life's work, you be my guest. But what God talks about is loving him. And that's why we got to simplify stuff. And that's just one example. I mean, everybody you know has one thing that's their pet peeve. And say, if you're a good Christian, this is what you do. Whatever it is. What God's concerned about is, do you love God? That's the thing that matters to him. There are a lot of other things in Christianity, a lot of other things in the Bible, but if you don't love God, not much of it really matters. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Here we go. And verse 15. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to what? Love the Lord thy God. Number one. I command thee to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and statutes and judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall utterly perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou mayest, that both thou and thy seed may live. Verse 20, that thou mayest what? Love the Lord thy God. I know it throws in other things, following his commandments and this and that, but the first thing is always love the Lord your God. Because if you love God, then of course you want to listen to him and follow his word. Just like if you love a person and they're worried about something, you want to talk to them about it and try to help them with it. But if you don't give a dang about them, you don't care what they say. There's somebody you don't care about at all, and they walk in the door, I'm really worried about blah, blah, blah. You go, that's your problem. But if it's somebody you care about and somebody you want to help, you know, then you're going to listen and see what you can do. Same thing when we hear God's word and we love God and he says this and that, we want to listen. We want to listen. It's not out of pain or hurt or trouble. It's because we love God and we want to do what he says. So, verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is what? Thy life. And he's the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now let's go to Joshua 22. Joshua 22. And again, this is even in the Old Testament. We're not even under the Old Testament laws, but there are certain things that are just fundamental that go throughout the entire Bible. And loving God is one of those things. Joshua 22, verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. You may recall when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt to cross the Jordan, the tribe of Reuben, tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And it's called a half-tribe because Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they were each were a half-tribe of Joseph. They really liked the land to the east of the Jordan, and they didn't want to cross over into the land of Canaan. So Moses said, okay. Or no, it was Joshua, sorry. Joshua said, okay, you can have that land, but first you have to cross the river with us and help us conquer it and get settled. Then you can go back to the east side of the Jordan and have that land. So they had done that. They had stayed there. They had helped conquer the land, helped the other tribes get settled, and they're going back. So for chapter 22, verse 1 of Joshua. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given you rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. So Moses was involved in that decision. Oh, good. Verse 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. Now here, what's the commandment? First thing, to love the Lord your God. There it is. First thing. Love the Lord your God. A lot of people look at all the Old Testament sacrifices, and there were a lot of them, and the other parts of the law, and there were a lot of them, and forget that the basis of it all is loving God. People love to just worry about the rituals and the routines. You know, like I remember, Jesus Christ talking to the, I'm not sure if this will come up in the notes today or not, but Jesus Christ talked to the scribes and the Pharisees who were just so into all of their laws and rules and totally forgot about just loving God. All they did was just get mad at you if you didn't dress a certain way and walk a certain way and talk a certain way and give this offering and do this and that. They were just so wrapped up in all that stuff, they forgot the basis is loving God. And we all have a lot of stuff we have to do, too. That's part of life. But if you don't love God, it's just not going to matter as much. But if you do love God, everything just flows nicely. So, again, verse 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now let's go to Psalm 59. Psalm 59. Here we go. Psalm 59 and verse 16. Now, Peanut came over to say hi because Teresa went outside. These dogs are wonderful. Psalm 59 and verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, I will sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. So it says in the morning, I'm going to sing aloud of how wonderful God is, about how much I love him, about how he shows me mercy. This is great. And then that's a great way to start the day. We tend to start the day, oh my gosh, where's the coffee? Oh, I got to do this. And oh, I'm going to be late for that meeting. And oh, I got to talk to so-and-so. Nope. Start the day singing a lot of God's mercy. God just loves me. There's that other verse that says, I will talk of, and it'll probably show up here, but it says, I'm going to sing aloud of God's love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. So I'm going to walk out the door saying, God loves me. And then when I come back in the door at night, I'm going to say, God was faithful to take care of me today. What a great thing to focus on. Because sure, there's always stuff to do. There's always people to talk to. There's always detail. There's always little annoying things. That's part of being a human being. But why not start the day saying, God loves me and he's going to help me out. And then come home at night remembering how faithful he was to help you out. It's a great way to live. It gives you a wonderful focus. Because if all you do is focus on the various trivia we have to deal with, I mean, you got to deal with it. It's part of life. But we can't let it overwhelm us. We have to have the attitude that, yes, I have a lot of trivia to deal with, and most of it's annoying, but so what? God's going to help me out. And that's what I'm excited about. You know, it's sort of like if you go play a football game. There's going to be big guys with helmets on trying to knock you over. And if that's all you think about, you probably won't win the game. But you go out there saying, sure, there's big guys with helmets, but we trained harder, we got a better plan, we're going to beat them. And you go out on the field expecting to win, and if you win, you go back off the field saying, yay, we won, wasn't that cool? And instead of, you know, just grumbling about the problems, you look for the opportunities and the victory. And we do that to a greater extent by expecting God to bless us. We just have that positive attitude that God's going to love us and help us, and then at the end of the day, we rejoice in that. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119. We're going to read several verses in this wonderful psalm. Psalm 119, very long psalm, and verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. See, every verse in Psalm 119 mentions God's word in one way or another. So I love thy law. Well, that is very similar to loving God, because it's God's word. So when you love what God says, you're in essence loving God. But look, oh how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. That's what I think about, is God's wonderful word. And how great it is to pick a couple verses. I was talking to somebody the other day who said he got a song stuck in his head, you know, that he'd heard somebody home or on the radio and he couldn't get out of his head. Okay, well, that's challenging sometimes. Well, pick a favorite verse you like and get it in your head. And just we'll go through the day thinking about it. Or there's that great little song in one of the Psalms. It says, "The Lord hath taken me out of an horrible pit." And so when I Fine When Life Is the Pits. I hum that song. He took me out of the pit and from the miry clay. He put my feet in a rock, a stem was seen my way. And it's a great thing. Instead of just thinking about life's the pits, think God's going to get me out of the pit and have that expectation. It's a great way to live. Psalm 119 and verse 113. Look at this. I hate vain or empty thoughts, but thy law do I love. You know, stupid thoughts, they bug me. But gosh, God's word, I love that. I love that. I love God's word. Look at Psalm 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Hate when people lie to me. Terrible. But, boy, do I love God's word. Oh, there's another one that's probably not in here. David was saying, princes persecute me, but thy law do I meditate upon thy law. And I just picture David sitting in his throne room and everybody coming in and, you know, railing on him and telling this is terrible and blah, 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 and he's got to deal with all these jokers in there. And he's just sitting there thinking, boy, that's a great verse in Deuteronomy. Because you get to control what's in your mind. People can throw anything they want at you, and they will. But then you can obsess over what they said, or you can just decide to focus on God's wonderful word. And that's a great thing. Psalm 119, verse 165. Here's one of my very, very favorite verses. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Because if we love God's word, and we're focusing, by focusing on God's word, we're focusing on how God's going to take care of us. And we focus on that, we have great peace. And nothing can really offend us. You know, you can come in and say all kinds of nasty things about me. I say, yeah, you're probably right, but so what? God's going to take care of me. And I really don't care what you think. Because I know God loves me and he's going to take care of me. I'm sorry you feel that way. That's all I can talk about if you want. But at the end of the day, you're going to think what you think and God's going to take care of me. So great peace have they which love thy law and nothing shall offend them. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear or reverence God and keep his commandments. So when you reverence God, you're showing love to him. You're showing respect to him. So you reverence God and keep his commandments. It's the whole duty of man. That's simple. We can do that. Matthew 22. We'll move out of the Old Testament law into the Gospels, where Jesus Christ during his ministry fulfilled the Old Testament law and simplified a lot of things for us. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he, Jesus Christ, had put the Sadducees to silence, because there were two major parties or denomination or their groups. There were a lot more, but two major groups in Judaism there in Jerusalem at that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So the Pharisees heard that he put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the first and great commandment. Love the Lord your God with everything you got. Your heart, soul, mind, everything. This is the first, verse 38, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And again, it's so easy to pick one thing somewhere in the scriptures and fixate on it and forget everything else. And lots of people do. But what God wants us to do is number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbor. And then the rest you just sort of got to work out as God works in your heart. which since we have the Spirit of God born within us, he can work in our hearts. Back in the Old Testament, there was one or two people, or maybe, I think, when Moses, what, they get up to 70, that had the Spirit of God on them. But it wasn't everybody, by any means. It was a small number that had the Spirit of God upon them, but today, anybody can have the Spirit of God born within, and God can talk to you directly and work in your heart. So, what we want to do is love God, love your neighbor, and just do your best to walk with God and figure out where to go from there. No reason to get complicated. John chapter 15. John 15. And verse 9. John 15 and verse 9. Herein is my Father. Oh, that's verse 8. John 15, 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Quite amazing. Your joy is full when you walk in God's love. That's a simple way to do it. Verse 12. This is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, of course, God wants us to love one another. He wants us to love him. And we, of course, know he loves us. And three very clear topics. Today we're focusing on us loving God. We could also focus on how God loves us. We could also focus on how we're to love one another. But they're all very, very important topics in the scriptures. But look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Great stuff. And look at verse 10 again. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I... Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to focus on verse 9. They're all such cool verses. Mm-hmm. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. So it's great. God loves us. We love God. We love one another. Life works. Let's jump ahead to Romans 8. Now this is an amazing section. Fraught with misunderstanding and misquotations, but if we read the context, it's really simple. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, there are those that will quote just the first part of that. All things work together for good. Well, that's a little hard. It's hard to explain guys like Adolf Hitler and smallpox, everybody dying of polio and, nuclear bombs and earthquakes if we just say all things work together for good, because all things don't work together for good. But the context, which we're not going to read, is all about praying in the Spirit, getting born again, and speaking in tongues, which is making perfect prayer, where when you speak in tongues, God gives you the words to pray, so you're praying for exactly what the problem is. So that's the first thing to realize. It's in the context of when we are operating the Spirit of God and praying in the Spirit. Then the other part of verse 28 is, to them that what? Love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, they're walking according to his word. So when you speak in tongues, love God, and live his word, then all things do work together for good. So instead of panicking about every situation, am I doing the right thing? Is this going to work out? No, just speak in tongues. Love God. Live his word the best you can. And expect that everything will work together for good. Just like it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When we, don't trust in our own understanding. What does it say? Lean not unto thine own understanding. but in all thy ways acknowledge him, acknowledge God, and he'll direct your paths. We don't have to lean to our own understanding. We trust God. And things just work out. So it's a great way to live. Doesn't mean if you're working on a project for work or school or something else, you shouldn't try to do it right. You should. But there are so many things beyond our control all the time. You just do the best you can. Do your due diligence to do the best you can. But then have the expectation that God will bless you and fill in the details. That's why there are great little non-biblical quotations. I say non-biblical because they're not actually in the Bible. Things like, you do your best and God will do the rest. It's true. We do our best and then expect God to come through for the rest. And so it's in that context. Again, verse 28, in the context of speaking in tongues, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now look at 1 John 4, a couple here to wrap up in 1 John. So even after we get away from the Old Testament law and get to the epistles written to the Christian church, we're still supposed to love God. It wasn't just an Old Testament law, something that's throughout the scriptures. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. This is simple. We love him because what? He first loved us. God started it. You started. No, you started. He started it. It's like people want to talk about what came first, the chicken or the egg. Well, if you read Genesis, God made all the fowls of the air, which I guess would include a chicken. And then, of course, the chicken had eggs. And so I actually talked to a woman who had been working on this. She said she was going to write a book and just title it The Chicken. Because the chicken did come first. I'm not really going to worry about that, but it's just sort of a cute little observation. So we love him because he first loved us. How simple is that? That's why we love God. God loved us, and he still does. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we, what? Love God and keep his commandments. Because sometimes you wonder, how do you want, you know, you want to love your neighbor. How do you do it? There are so many causes, so many groups, so many fundraising movements, so many charities. And I'm sure they're all doing some good work. I have nothing against them, but it can be overwhelming. What is it I do to really love my neighbor? Well, again, God will have to work in your heart and you'll have to make your own decisions. But at the basis of it is you love God and live his word. And then you know you've loving your neighbor. And then what exactly you do, you know, there's so many ways to help people. There are so many ways to be of service. It's up to you to figure out which is appropriate for you. And it'll be different for everybody. And you'll sometimes get somebody that's so excited about what they're doing, they want you to race off after them, and that might be appropriate, but God might work in your heart to go do something different. So enjoy that. So 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we, what? We love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not complicated. See, the Old Testament law did get a little grievous. Got a little involved. But, which is why God sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior, to fulfill the law. And today we're not living under the age of law. It's the age of grace. And it's much simpler. So God's commandments are not grievous. But that's how we know we're loving the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So as the weeks go by, I encourage you to focus on loving God. Focus on being thankful. Start every day thinking about God loves me and he's going to help me. And then at the end of the day, look back on all the ways he did help you. And then just pray for the day ahead. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your wonderful kindness, for these wonderful saints that we can share God's word together. May we have a great couple weeks until we meet again. May we pray for one another. May we trust you for great victory and reach out and help those in need any way we can. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen.